Welcome to Life After the Game with your host, Lamar Campbell. What happens after the game wraps up, either when the day is done or the professional career is done? We'll take a look at what your favorite athletes are doing when they aren't in the game. Now, here is your host, Lamar Campbell.
Welcome back, LATG Radio. I'm your host, Lamar Campbell. Glad to have you here with me on this great Tuesday, October 1st. The government seems to be shut down, but Voice America Sports is not. Give us a call, 1-888-344-9188. Follow me on Twitter at LifeAfterTGame and shoot me an email, Lamar at LifeAfterTheGame. That's again, Lamar at LifeAfterTheGame. Great weekend of football, great weekend of college football. We have a lot to talk about today and a lot of good things to start with, but let's start with Monday night football, where the New Orleans Saints beat the Miami Dolphins 38-17. Now, people tried to sell themselves on that game tonight, and there were two 3-0 teams, the Miami Dolphins, and I really believe that Miami is a team that's on the rise. Not where they need to be yet, but definitely on the rise. I think Tannehill is starting to come together. I think that defense with a healthy Cameron is really going to be causing a lot of problems this year in the NFL. But let's give it a little recap. Our guy, Drew Brees, had only 9 incompletions on 39 attempts and wound up with 413 yards passing and 4 touchdowns. It was the 10th game with over 400 yards in his career. Arnie Marino had more with 13. And speaking of Miami quarterbacks, Ryan Tannehill. And don't forget, before Johnny Manziel, there was Ryan Tannehill. And this is a guy that played a lot of good football at Texas A&M. But you got to give it up to this guy. He took his bruises. It's hard to go into New Orleans on a Monday night when they're undefeated on Monday Night Football and go in there and get a win against the New Orleans Saints. And then they had a really hard time doing that. I feel as though the matchup problems with Darren Sproles really led to the Miami Dolphins' demise, not to mention those turnovers as well. But it's just one game. The Miami Dolphins are 3-1. And right in the thick of things in a surprising AFC East. And so there's nothing to panic about as of yet. You know, we still want to see them play the New England Patriots. And that's something that, you know, let's go ahead and get to the Patriots, because I'm actually currently here in Atlanta. Give us a call. Let me know how you feel about these Falcons. 1-888-344-9188. Matt Ryan, 1-3. And that's something that they just cannot have here in Atlanta, Georgia. And you think of, I'll just say this. Matt Ryan went on the field Sunday night in the Georgia Dome with hands down winning the argument, probably one of the best, if not the best, receiving cores in the NFL. Roddy White, Julio Jones, Tony Gonzalez, even Harry Douglas is having a phenomenal year. Tom Brady comes in there with guys that rookies, I don't even know their name. One guy named after a golf shop, Mulligan, comes into the Georgia Dome and beats the Atlanta Falcons. And we're not even going to point that. We left that the New England Patriots lost Pro Bowl defensive tackle Vince Norfolk to an Achilles injury for the rest of the year. That's something that just can't happen. You know, here's a team that actually, as of right now, have equaled their loss total for last year. 10 yards, 5 yards away from the Super Bowl last year. These are guys that just kind of score in the red zone. You know, these guys right now, their lowest touchdown percentage in the red zone right now is 38.9%. That's fifth high behind the Saints, Jazz, Cardinals, and the Patriots. 38.9%. With that kind of talent, you have to get the guys in the end zone. Matt Ryan threw for a career high 421 yards, completing 34 of 54 passes. With 2 touchdowns, 1 interception, and a 91.7 passer rating in the loss. Now, Ryan's 421-yard output was the second-highest single-game passing total in team history behind Chris Chandler's 431 yards against the Bills back in 2001. Tony Gonzalez caught 12 passes for a career-high 149 yards and 2 touchdowns. And with that, Julio Jones turned his third straight 100-yard game performance on Sunday night with 6 passes for 108 yards and pretty much averaged him about 18 yards of reception. But they lost. They lost. And you look at Roddy White, you look at the weapons that they have, you look at it just says you can never. And I've given the Patriots a lot of crap. I've given the Patriots a lot of heartache. But it just goes to show you and goes to show me as well. You cannot bet against Tom Brady and Bill Belichick when these guys have some time to prepare for you. And right now we're seeing that Atlanta Falcons may not be who we thought they were. And this goes back to another point. If you're just tuning in, Voice America Sports, 1-888-344-9188. Shoot me an email, Lamar at lifeafterthegame. Again, that's Lamar at lifeafterthegame.com. Goes back to my spiel when they gave Matt Ryan his new contract. One of the things that we did not understand, I mean, Joe Flacco, in my opinion, gave you the blueprint. If you want the money, go out and earn the money. And I've heard that we need a quarterback. We need a franchise quarterback. It's hard to find a franchise quarterback. These quarterbacks are so hard to come by. And I agree with that. But as a player, as a year in the front office, and sitting back and watching the game, one thing you can't count on is that if these guys, once you give them that big payday, are they going to come out and play as hard as they can for you? I mean, you look at Matt Ryan. I mean, look at what Joe Flacco did. Joe Flacco turned down a contract. It was a low contract. Let's be fair. What the Baltimore Ravens were offering Joe Flacco was very low. Joe Flacco couldn't lead the team. Joe Flacco couldn't win big. Joe Flacco couldn't win the big game. Joe Flacco does everything that they said they could not do and got rewarded as such. Let's keep one thing in perspective. Matt Ryan has one playoff win. They had a bye last year, and they beat a Seattle team who almost came back and beat them last year. And so you have to understand they beat Seattle, and then they lost to a San Francisco 49ers team who eventually went to New Orleans for the Super Bowl. This is something you had to take into consideration. Was Matt Ryan worth that money? Now, at least Joe Flacco, in his defense, won a playoff game each of his years, each of his first years that he was in the NFL. Joe Flacco has been, he is a proven playoff winning quarterback. Whether you say, you know, the defense carried him, a lot of offenses have been carried by their defense throughout the Super Bowl era. So that's nothing new. But what we do want to recognize is that Joe Flacco was used to winning in the playoffs. He was used to going to the playoffs. And it is something you had to think about. And they offered him a low contract. Matt Ryan, however, won playoff win. They broke the bank to keep this guy here. And the Atlanta Falcons are now 1-3. Three games behind the New Orleans Saints. This is not good. This is not good moving forward. You have to think about what the Falcons have in front of them. They have a Monday night matchup against the New York Jets. As we both know, this will be an opportunity for the Falcons to get back on track and do some good things. They play Monday night football, New York Jets. Okay, fine. Okay, 2-3. All right. But let's look down the line. Let's look down the line. See, we had to have a bye week after that to rally the troops. They'll have a bye week. Tampa Bay at Arizona. Tough road game at Carolina. That's a division game. In Seattle, at Seattle, 1 o'clock. That is a very, very tough stretch. That's going to be a very, very tough stretch for these Atlanta Falcons. So that's something we all need to think about moving forward. And we want to know what the Falcons are going to do. Breaking news just came through that Russell Westbrook is going to have surgery on his knee, going to be out 4 to 6 weeks at the beginning of the season. I think the Oklahoma City Thunder will be okay with that. I'm going to take a couple of emails. Give me a call, 1-888-344-9144. Shoot me a Twitter, Life After T Game. And also shoot me an email at Lamar at lifeafterthegame.com. Again, that's Lamar at lifeafterthegame.com. Going to take this email. Matt Ryan was worth all the money. It's very difficult to find a franchise quarterback. And when you have a chance to lock one guy up, you have to go ahead and lock him up. That's the argument that I've been hearing from most of the Atlanta Falcons fans. I find it comforting that the Atlanta Falcons fans are so diehard now. You know, it used to be a time when Atlanta fans were very fair weather fans. So it's good to see they have their back with Matt Ryan. But I stick with my guns when I say he's not worth it. Show me you're worth it. Most guys play their best going into their contract year. Most guys say, okay, this is my last year with this team, or my last season potentially with this team. I'm going to have 31 other NFL teams out there looking at me. All I have to do is play well, and everyone else will see me, and I will get the payday that I'm looking for. When you pay these guys, in my opinion, when you pay these guys before They've proven their worth. You know, Matt Ryan, okay, he's a winning quarterback. Mike Smith, I think that's more of the system more than it is Matt Ryan, but he has never been clutch. Let's call a spade a spade. When has Matt Ryan ever been clutch? He's never been clutch. They got close again last night in New England. They couldn't pull through. You would think all of that played a part, but no. And I respect Dimitrov. He come from the New England tree, and he's a great GM, and he's drafted great. I love his last couple of draft picks. But let me just say this. Matt Ryan isn't ready for prime time. He's gotten a little too comfortable. And I do think Mike Smith and the head coaches will do their best to go ahead and corral the Atlanta Falcons, but I don't see them in any way, not only winning the division, but beating New Orleans at all. They've already won down to New Orleans. They lost to New Orleans on the opener 23-17 on the last minute that Matt Ryan couldn't get done. They've lost to Miami, the team that lost to New Orleans last night, and they've lost to New England on Sunday night, who beat Miami. So, you know, you have to understand, I don't think Matt Ryan is ready. I think he has a lot of work to do. I think he's gotten a little too comfortable. I think he may have lost that competitive edge, and that's something that as a quarterback, you have to be hungry, and I think that's something that Joe Flacco played with all year last year. When we come back, I'm going to follow up a little bit with college football, some great articles from some good buddies of mine. We're going to take a look at that. Stay tuned. LATG Radio, Life After the Game.
Internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Okay, sports fans, here's your opportunity to discuss football, America's favorite sport. On an annual basis, millions of people attend, watch, and listen to football, both pro and college. Ray Ellis Sports, an internet talk radio show, was developed with the fan in mind. Join host former Philadelphia Eagles and Cleveland Browns strong safety, Ray Ellis, on Voice America Sports every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific for exciting, interactive football discussions from the fans' perspective. Tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific to Ray Ellis Sports, right here on the Voice America Network. And let's talk football.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You are tuned in to Life After the Game with your host, Lamar Campbell. If you wish to ask a question of Lamar or his guest, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or you can send an email to lamar@lifeafterthegame.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back, LATG Radio. I'm your host, Lamar Campbell, coming to you live from beautiful Atlanta, Georgia. Welcome back. Talk a little bit about the government shutdown when we open up the show today. Well, it seems that it actually is affecting the world of sports as well. The government shutdown cancels all service academies sports. That's right. The first government shutdown in 17 years is the result of Congress failing to pass the budget yesterday. The government doesn't have authority to spend money on anything but essential services, and sports are apparently not one of them. The service academies have been suspended all sporting events effective today. Department of Defense made an announcement this afternoon in their official statement. Pretty much as a result of the government shutdown, the Department of Defense has suspended all intercollegiate athletic competitions at the service academies. The Naval Academy will cancel contests as appropriate. A notification on Saturday's football game against Air Force will be made public prior to 12 noon on Thursday. Tonight's soccer game against Howard has been canceled. It is not known at this time if the game will be made up or not. There's a lot of people never looked at it from that angle. I'll be completely honest with you. As someone that grew up in Philadelphia, and they used to have the Army-Navy game, which was a huge game played in Philadelphia. That was one of my favorite games to watch a year. Now, I was never a big Army or Navy fan, but I just knew that that was coming to Philadelphia. And that was a game that I was definitely going to watch, and it was usually a great contest to watch. But when you think of politics and sports, man, and everybody will tell you, no, don't – on your radio show, don't mix politics and sports, man. But and I won't do that today. I don't want to commit career suicide politics or sports-wise, but I'll say it's very difficult to – well, extremely difficult to separate the two. I mean, they are actually being played right now. I mean, this is what politics are actually affecting sports. So how can you say, you know, don't talk about sports and politics, because this actually is affecting. The annual Navy Air Force game, which will be nationally televised from Annapolis this week, is still up in the air. This is, as I said, a decision will be made by noon on Thursday. And up to half the government employees and hundreds of thousands of civilian employees could be furloughed. And actually, our furlough, upperclassmen are considered government employees and will be subject to the travel ban. Wow. Give me your thoughts on that, guys. I mean, give me a call, 1-888-344-9188. Give me a call on that and let me know what you guys think about that. That's kind of disturbing. You know, nothing brings the country together like sports. Nothing brings teams together like sports. And then you think of what's going on with our – I mean, these guys, even though they are considered government employees, who doesn't want to watch our air? I mean, they play just as hard. They practice just as hard. They train just as hard, even more so because they're out there defending our company, defending our country as well. I mean, what do you do? You know, what do you do? I mean, this is really, the more I'm reading this article and the more I've read it and saw that earlier today, it really perplexed me, man, that this was really actually going on. So, yeah, give me a call, man. Just got an email in from Jeff, and Jeff, thanks for emailing me. Jeff emailing me from, New York City, it seems like. Saying, no, this was something that he looked for. You know, Navy played Air Force and that Duke and Toledo and then at Pittsburgh. And then, you know, you can't forget the Notre Dame game, nationally televised game. I mean, what are these guys going to do? You know, what, I mean, that just boosts morale. You know, that's just a morale boost to be able to go to a football game and cheer on, you know, service members. But it seems like that's not going to happen. I'm actually surprised it's not a biggest deal. As I'm actually realizing that it is, you know, it was really perplexing to me, man. Let me get another email from Tom. Thanks, Tom, emailing me, actually from Atlanta, Georgia. He's actually talking about my Matt Ryan rant, but he actually agrees with me. This is actually the first guy that actually agrees with me on my Matt Ryan rant. He writes, he does not believe Matt Ryan was worth all the money. I think we overpaid. It's going to hurt the cap in the future. I couldn't agree with you more, man. I mean, you know, you look at a situation where, you know, here's a guy that I was just – talking to my producer, man. I mean, my engineer, you know, one game, one playoff win. You know, does that get you that kind of contract with one playoff win? You know, I went to the playoffs once in my Detroit Lions career. We got our behinds beat by the Washington Redskins. But if we had a quarterback that only took us to the playoff once in his first 4 or 5 years, you know, I don't know if he'd be worth that kind of money. I mean, you look at, you know, I say again, Joe Flacco is the poster boy of, you know, show me the money. I don't want that. That's an insult. I'm going to go out and, you know, earn this money. And when you think about it, these guys making over $100 million. You know, $100 million. You know, now let's take a step back now. They were both drafted in 2008. Okay. Matt Ryan was drafted number 3 overall. Joe Flacco, number 18 overall. So Ryan was drafted higher. Now Matt Ryan has 4 playoff appearances, 1 win. Let me just read you the playoff record. Joe Flacco, 9-4 in the playoffs, 1 Super Bowl. Matt Ryan, 1-4. Now, I will say Matt Ryan's passing stats are better across the board, but Flacco's playoff appearances and postseason success, most notably last season's Super Bowl victory, are a major plus in his column. Even with that Super Bowl MVP on his on Flacco's trophy shelf, Ryan is the clear choice. They say Matt Ryan is strong in the pocket. Says he shows poise when rushed and commands the huddle. And everybody's harping on the last minute game winning drive against the Seahawks in the divisional playoff was, you know, master at quarterbacking. And okay, when I give you $100 million, you know, when you're a franchise quarterback, for everyone that doesn't know, they call that what you're supposed to do. That's what you're supposed to do. Every quarterback in the NFL, that's what he's supposed to do. I mean, you know, we have this saying that, you know, guys act like, you know, people act, I mean, that's what you're there to do. You know, if your job is to do whatever, if your job is to go out and sell homes, if your job is to go out and be a firefighter, if your job is, if you're a police officer, your job is to go out to protect and serve, then, well, that's what you're supposed to do. I find it very, and maybe because I play the game, I have a different outlook on that, but I will say, I find it very hard when people say, you know, this is what he did. Is you're supposed to do that all the time. And I'm no, you know, I'm no Bill Parcells or Mike Ditka or Chucky when it comes to being hard on quarterbacks. But I guess I'll say I'm hard on quarterbacks. And not because I'm a defensive guy, but I play with some great quarterbacks. I play with and know some great quarterbacks. I have conversations with some great quarterbacks. And to be great, this is what you're supposed to do all the time. You're supposed to win those games. You're supposed to go on game-winning drives. You're supposed to do all these phenomenal things that everyone is so enamored about, you know, this Matt Ryan guy. And I don't dislike Matt Ryan. I mean, his high school coach was my quarterback coach at Wisconsin, Mike Samuel. So I've known about Matt Ryan for a long time before he went to Boston College. And to be completely honest with you, I would have loved it if he would have went to Wisconsin. But that didn't work out. So I say this, I've known Matt Ryan for a long time. He's a Philly guy. I'm a Philly guy. I'm rooting for him. But I'm just going to go back and I'm going to stand and plant my feet firm and say he wasn't worth $100 million. I don't care what anyone says. That guy's not worth $100 million. We don't have a Super Bowl. And this is their last. This is every Super Bowl winning quarterback. I brought this up last year when I said that was going to be the Falcons' last chance because Tony Gonzalez was retiring. Think of all those championship teams. Think of how big their tight end was in that passing attack. Even when you go back to Baltimore, you had a Todd Heath. Even the Steelers had a great tight end. I mean, look at all these guys. Look at the Super Bowl winning quarterbacks. And they're all-star, all-pro, sometime in their career tight ends. Unless they draft a tight end, which I thought they should have drafted. I thought they should have drafted a tight end this year. I thought they should have went after the young man out of Notre Dame. But that's something that that they did not do. And then when you think about it, Tony Gonzalez, it's all over for him this year. He's not coming back. He's not coming back. So what do you do? What do you do? You know, this is it for the Falcons. And at one and three, you have to consider a couple games behind New Orleans Saints, which are in the division. You have to say to yourself, you know, the time is now for them to get it together. They should come out with a win. This week on Monday Night Football with the New York Jets, I'm looking forward to that game. And speaking of Jets, we've been talking about Matt Ryan for too long. I got to say this. I'm kind of all over the place. ADD somewhat. So a big deal was made out of Matt Sanchez's butt fumble last year. Right. That was what we all remember. Oh, it was the butt fumble. It was the butt fumble. It was the butt fumble. What the hell was Geno Smith doing? Give us a call. 1-888-344-9188. Again, shoot me an email. Lamar at Life After the Game. Follow me on Twitter at Life After the Game. Listen to us. Voice America Sports. Come on. What was Geno Smith doing? So are you telling me Geno Smith gets a pass for his behind the back butt fumble, and at least, you know, Sanchez didn't end up in a touchdown as Geno Smith did. And I know he's a rookie, and I know, but this is not West Virginia, young man. This is a whole new ball game. And so, therefore, we have to treat it as such. And, you know, let me know what you think about that. I had a long conversation about that with the guys on Sunday as well. Like, you know, what has Mark Sanchez really done, other than nothing? Don't get me wrong. He's done nothing. However, you have to understand. I mean, what is he doing? And now Sanchez has now So I guess after he saw that fumble, decided he was going to have season-ending soldier surgery. So you can't go back to him if you need him. So, okay, you're going, oh, he gets the butt fumble and everybody doesn't kill him like they killed me. Okay, I'm going to put myself on a shelf for the rest of the year. And let's see how you do with this rookie quarterback. Because I think Sanchez can play. I mean, Sanchez had a great career before things went bad. I mean, he lost his running game. He has no weapons. I mean, there's a lot that went wrong. And Mark's got a couple playoff wins. He got more playoff wins than Matt Ryan. I mean, let's be honest here. More playoff wins than Matt Ryan. So let's keep everything in perspective here. So let me know what you guys think about that. Give me a call, 1-888-4, shoot me an email. Definitely a lot going on. Let's go ahead back to the top headlines today. I had a chance to talk to my guy, Ron Jaworski, yesterday. So I called Jaws up, as you all, if you guys didn't know, I did the broadcast boot camp this year and had a chance to hang out with Jaws for a minute. And I go to Jaws for my quarterback information, man. And I think Jaws is on ESPN right now. But they are some quarterbacks now that on the big board are not really playing well. And Jaws is really disappointed in a lot of these quarterbacks. I'm not going to, of course, put Jaws on the spot. I'm sure you can watch ESPN after my show to find out exactly what's going on. But quarterback play is kind of down this year. You know, Joe Flacco throws a record 5 interceptions. And don't get me wrong, I know I was just giving Matt Ryan hell about 5-10 minutes ago. I mean, but you have the whole – I guess it all comes down to one thing, accountability. We have to hold these quarterbacks accountable. You don't even need to be great. You just need to be accountable. I mean, Trent Dilfer, he wasn't a great quarterback when he was with the Ravens. You would say the defense carried Trent Dilfer. But one thing I will say is he was accountable. He didn't make a lot of mistakes. He made smart decisions. And now he's the guy that has this Elite 11 and all these great quarterbacks. I mean, famous Jameis down there in Florida State. I mean, he had the Mark Sanchez. He had the Matt Lyons. He had all these guys that were available to him, and he understood that you didn't have to make every play yourself. And that's something you want to think about moving forward. That's something you really want to think about moving forward. I think that is something that the Falcons should think about moving forward. I mean, let's be honest here. Matt Ryan isn't going anywhere. But the good thing is Julio Jones isn't going anywhere. Neither is Roddy White. Harry Douglas, maybe, if they don't re-up him. Steven Jackson's hurt. I think the Rams could have used him, but Steven Jackson's hurt. He's got 1 or 2 years left. And Tony Gonzalez is gone. What do they do with this season? What do you predict their final record would be? The Atlanta Falcons already have as many losses as they had last year. So let's definitely figure out. No, someone hit me up and let me know what exactly these guys are going to do next year. 1-888-34-914 at Life After T Game on Twitter. Life After T Game on Twitter. Getting ready to take a couple of emails. Going to send out a couple of emails. Yep, here we go. Got an email in. I need some mean emails, guys. I mean, okay, Falcons fans, I know I'm here, but, you know, I got to call it like I see it. Yeah. Okay, got an email from Clint. Clint says Atlanta Falcons will the Atlanta Falcons will end up 13-3. Clint, okay. If you say so. That's all I'm saying. That you try to tell me they're going to run the table at Seattle against New Orleans. I mean, just, you know, if you need me, I will go ahead and forward you over the rest of their schedule. And I said, you know, I will say congratulations because you guys are diehard fans. I've never known Atlanta fans to be diehard fans, but you guys are diehard. But Clint, let me just run it down to you real quick. At New York, should be a win. At Tampa Bay, should be a win. And the key word is should. At Arizona, at Carolina, they've got Seattle at home, at Tampa Bay versus New Orleans at home, at Buffalo, at Green Bay, at Washington at home, at San Francisco, and then they finish up home in Carolina. 13-3. All right, Clint, if you say so, thanks for the email. Stay tuned when we come back. We're going to talk about those Denver Broncos, Peyton Manning, and going to finish up the show. Stay tuned. LATG Radio, Life After the Game.
This is Lomas Brown, former Detroit Lion and current NFL analyst, and this is my life after the game.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Okay, sports fans, here's your opportunity to discuss football, America's favorite sport. On an annual basis, millions of people attend, watch, and listen to football, both pro and college. Ray Ellis Sports, an internet talk radio show, was developed with the fan in mind. Join host, former Philadelphia Eagles and Cleveland Browns strong safety, Ray Ellis, on Voice America Sports every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific for exciting, interactive football discussions from the fans' perspective. Tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific to Ray Ellis Sports, right here on the Voice America Network. And let's talk football.
Looking for the best show about horse racing and handicapping? Want to play the ponies? Join us every week for Winning Ponies with John Englehart, racing's regular guy, where you'll go inside and behind the scenes with the top jockeys, trainers, agents, and handicappers in the world of horse racing. This show is the perfect complement to the Winning Ponies Handicapping website. Listen for top plays for the weekend and the spot play of the week, and win prizes just for calling in. Winning Ponies with John Englehart is live Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Network.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
You are tuned in to Life After the Game with your host, Lamar Campbell. If you wish to ask a question of Lamar or his guest, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or you can send an email to lamar@lifeafterthegame.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back, LATG Radio. I'm your host, Lamar Campbell, coming to you live from beautiful Atlanta, Georgia. Finishing up the segment, man. Great football weekend. As I said, we're going to be coming back. Give me a call, 1-888-349-1188. Life at Life After T Game on Twitter, again, at Life After T Game. And also, shoot me an email, lamar@lifeafterthegame.com. Again, that's lamar@lifeafterthegame.com. Great football weekend, man. I want to talk a little bit about those Denver Broncos, man. You know, this is something that, you know, Peyton Manning definitely has his arm strength back. You know, you look at the way this, I mean, if for a minute there against the Eagles, I thought Chip Kelly was on the other sideline, the way that the Denver Broncos were running that offense and Peyton Manning and doing their thing, man. This is one of those teams that, as we know, I love Peyton Manning, came out the same year, good times with Peyton, great guy, but they look extremely awesome. But this is the thing, what team that he was with in Indianapolis ever did not look awesome? Peyton's whole career, man. I mean, when he was in Indianapolis, I mean, these guys would go 8-0, 9-0, you know, 10-0. There was a big deal with the year that they sat the starters and they didn't make the playoffs. I mean, you understand, Peyton has one Super Bowl ring, and the playoffs has always been his kryptonite. It's always been something that has played Peyton Manning. But I finally think, you know, for a long time, Indianapolis was an offensive team that was waiting for a defense. When they finally found their defense, they became a Super Bowl caliber team. And they have the Dallas Cowboys coming up this week. That's going to be another great game. I think that's going to be a shootout. I'm going to love to see Dez Bryant against that talented Denver Broncos secondary. But let's think about it, man. And up until this, let's figure the Super Bowl is going to be in New York. So let's say Denver, and I'm not picking Denver yet. I'm not picking Denver yet. Something about those Seahawks, man. Something about those Seahawks, where they can pull off those games. And, you know, if Denver has to go to Seattle, depending on how the season ends up, you know, that could be a really big game. Kansas City as well. You know, those are my top three in the AFC right now. But when you think about it, the way that these guys are clicking is going to have to come down to human error or the natural elements. It's going to have to be rain. It's going to have to be snowy. It's going to have to be some, you know, that's the natural elements. You know, if they get to the Super Bowl, you know, no telling what the weather's going to be in New York. You know, you give Peyton Manning a 40-45 degree day, sunny, no snow on the ground, it's going to be a good game. I'm picking Denver Broncos all the way. You know, again, some snow, some rain. Those are things that I'm not too sure Peyton's going to pull out of. But it's good. Then you look at the human error factor. I mean, I think that's something that is going to play a part as well. Peyton has to have a bad game. Decker has to have a bad game. Wes Walker has to have a bad game. Demaryius Thomas has to have a bad game. These guys have to have a bad game right now. That's the only way you're going to beat them. These guys pretty much have to play bad. And that's scary when you got to count on the other team that you're playing to play bad to beat them. But the way that they're playing right now, they're playing some great football. It's going to be very hard to defeat those Denver Broncos the way that they're playing right now. But, you know, talk to me in January. You know, talk to me in January. I mean, that's really the kind of player that I've been. And when you look at Peyton Manning, he's always going to be great. I mean, guy has no interceptions, 16 touchdowns, I believe. And, I mean, he's just lighting it up, man. He's lighting it up. Arm strength looks great. He's running the offense. I mean, the genius of Peyton Manning, man. You watch this guy run the offense, man. And he's really a quarterback on – I mean, I'm sorry, a coach and a quarterback on the field. And that's something that you don't find everywhere. And I mean, right now you're looking at it, and I think Peyton Manning is going to be hard to stop. Those guys have to have a bad game. But it's just October 1st. I don't think I'm drinking the Kool-Aid as of yet. But if I had to pick a power ranking right now, I'm definitely going to put the Denver Broncos number one. But like I said, talk to me in January. Let's see how the defense is playing. You're going to have a Champ Bailey back. You're going to have some key members back with the Denver Broncos. So, you know, there are a lot of people favorites right now. But, you know, it's funny how those favorites really don't pan out in the playoffs. So that's really going to be the big deal, man. I mean, and think about it, you know. They were Raheem Moore away from going to Super Bowl last year. I mean, let's be honest with you, you know. Raheem Moore breaks up that pass, doesn't let Jones get behind him, and, you know, the Broncos are there last year. You know, same thing with the Falcons. The Falcons are there last year. They don't let San Francisco get the best of them. So think about that. So shout out to my man Peyton Manning and Denver Broncos and Denver Broncos fans. Good luck, man. Good luck. My engineer's a big Denver Broncos fan, man. Shout out to Joe, man, you know, but, you know. Talk to me in January, Joe. What's all we're talking after the show? But I really want to see Peyton win. I do want to see Peyton get another one. I don't think Eli is a better quarterback than his brother. But I will say this. I think Eli is more opportunistic than his big brother. I think he has a little more chances. And, you know, we'll see what they can do. We'll see what they do. Give us a call. 1-888-349-1-88. Follow me on Twitter at LifeAfterTGame. Shoot me an email, Lamar at LifeAfterTheGame. Again, that's Lamar. At Life After the Game. Next week, the League of Denial is coming out. There's been a lot of talk about that. The documentary by PBS that ESPN eventually backed out of for quote unquote ownership reasons. I'll let you go ahead and take that as a grain of salt, however you want to take it. But people don't know the NFL. And NFL and ESPN has a really good relationship. You know, during Roger Goodell is, you know, Roger Goodell is going to be Roger Goodell, but, you know, the money rules. You know, always follow the paper trail. Always follow the paper trail. But I really want to talk about the concussion issue because that's something that I really believe. Next Tuesday night, you mark it here, guys. Next Tuesday night, I don't know if they – this is – now, you got to look at it. ESPN is the most powerful sports conglomerate probably in the world. And PBS is one of the most intelligent and relentless investigative journalists go to PBS and make incredible careers. I truly believe with the settlement, of the concussions and the judge still having to make that decision, whether or not she will approve the deal. I think we have to look at what exactly will happen. You know, will the judge watch this? What information will we find that maybe we did not know? And how is this going to affect, you know, concussions moving forward, concussion prevention moving forward? Now, for some of you that don't know, I wrote this article for CNN a couple of weeks ago on the concussion settlement. Well, everybody saw that as a win, And it was a win for some of the guys, for some of the older guys that need the help right now. Of course, Dave Dorson, who was a member of the Voice of America sports family, you know, his family will be taken care of. And Andre Ward is a personal friend of mine and mentor of mine and just a great all around guy. Their families will benefit, but they're not benefiting right now. People don't understand is this will not go into effect for maybe 1 or 2 years, and that's after it's passed. So if this passes, whenever she decides to pass it, if she does, you're looking at about a year and a half, 2 years of red tape before any of these guys start to get any of these benefits. Also, you have to think that NFL, they say, oh, 760, but that is chump change. Okay, the NFL now is a $10 billion business. If the deal, let's say the deal was approved this year, in 2022, the last year of this settlement, the NFL will pay $25 million. The projected annual worth of the NFL in 2022 will be $23.6 billion with a B. With a B. You know, so I'm not making any speculations on the attorneys. I'm just giving you the facts. And this is something that we got to think about moving forward. So we'll see what League of Denial is going to come out next Tuesday night. And on my show next Tuesday, I'm going to have a couple of guys on there to talk about a concussion and talk about the concussion issue and the great comments we have coming up. To the point. But it was funny. Got an email coming in from Todd. Thanks for your email, Todd. Did you notice that Super Bowl prices have gone up? Well, of course I have, Todd. I mean, I told people that when settlement was done, the NFL was going to get that $765 million that was given to the players within the next 2 years. They were going to make that money, whether it was ticket sales, whether it was direct TV packages, you know, I'm sure commercials for the Super Bowl will be a lot higher this year. The NFL is going to pocket that. I mean, they weren't going to – they had this – this was in place. This plan was in place for a long time before they decided to go to trial, before they knew they were going to go to trial. I mean, I will say this. For all of my Godfather fans out there, and I tell this to people all the time. If you're a Godfather fan, everyone knows who's Tom, who Tom is. Tom had one job. Tom represented the family. Well, let's just say the NFL has a group, a room, a firm full of Toms. And all they do is protect the NFL and they damage control and they prepare. And this is something they saw coming a long time ago. And, you know, I don't care what the owners say. This is something that not only is it still going on, but we're still fighting for workman's comp in California. You know, there's a lot going on behind the scenes. I know a lot of people look at that amount and think that it's a lot of money, but in reality, it's really not. The NFL could really do a lot more for the players. You know, forget about the money. You know, I would have loved the NFL to say, hey, you know what? We're just going to cover you guys' medical expenses. We're going to give you guys insurance for the rest of your life, affordable insurance, you know, whatever. It was worth it. So what we want to do is we want to make sure that we get our players protected. So that's going to be huge. So make sure you tune in next week. We're going to have a great, great conversation with some great guys that are involved in the concussion lawsuit, some attorneys as well, to break it down for and to talk about the League of Denial. Talk about the League of Denial as well. As I'm sure that's going to be a hot topic come Wednesday morning after that. That's definitely something we're going to be looking for. Give me a call. Looking forward to it, man. Let's shoot me another email. I'm having fun. Thanks, Tom, for that email. Lamar, at Life After the Game. Again, that's Lamar at Life After the Game. Big games coming up this week. You know, got Alabama. And let's talk a little. Just got a call in. Oh, just got an email from one of my Wisconsin Badgers. And I didn't get a chance to get around to my Badgers this week, but I'll make it a point to get around to it right now. Yes, we went down to Ohio State. And yes, we lost. But we're young. We're young. Urban Meyer had a great game plan. You know, we really don't have a vertical passing game, and that's exactly that's really what hurt us on Saturday night. We need to get some more recruits, man. But we're playing the 4-3 now. We're getting some great defensive recruits. I need to get a couple of offensive guys. We lost a lot of offense last year. So that's something we definitely have to work on. But thanks for the email. Yes, I saw it. Yes, we have to get better on Wisconsin. I'll actually be in Wisconsin for the BYU game. So that's going to be sweet. So make sure you you guys give me a call. Shoot me out on Twitter at Life After T Game. Again, at Life After T Game. And let's go ahead and make that happen. As I said, oh, yeah, more emails. I love it. I love it. I love it. Just got an email from my guy, Sante. Thanks for email Sante. And he said he's going to be a diehard Falcon fan. He's going to stick with his Falcon. Well, of course you're going to stick with him against the New York Jets, Sante. I mean, the Jets just left a game where they have 4 or 5 turnovers. I mean, you got to – O.C. Umanura should have a good day. The defense should have a good day. You know, Sadie should have a good day. I mean, come on, man. Come on. Tell me something I don't know, Asante. Tell me something I don't know. It's the New York Jets. It's the New York Jets. Call me when New Orleans comes to town. Or call me when, you know, I guess you guys were saying that about New England Sunday night, huh? Oh, New England's coming into town. Tom Brady doesn't have any receivers. And, well, you know what? If you didn't know who the New England Patriots receivers' names were before Sunday night, you definitely know now. So congratulations, Atlanta Falcons. You made the New England Patriots wide receivers household names. Because now at least people in Atlanta know. At least people in Atlanta know. So, you know, what can you do? What can you do? Shoot me another. We got one more email before we close out the show. Email coming in from Erica. Always love to have a female. And she's from Erica's from Tallahassee, Florida. What do I think about Josh Freeman? Oh, you know what? That's an interesting. Thanks, Erica, for the email. I think one thing we have to understand about Josh Freeman is that, you know, he did perform enhancing drugs. He did have a slap on the wrist last year. But when you're dealing with attention deficit disorder, this is where the NFL has to be very creative and very lenient when it comes to these guys, the mental aspect of the game, because this is something that can actually make him a better person. You don't want any problems off the field. NFL is always worried about off the field problems. If this guy needs ADH, drug, attention deficit disorder drugs or medication, you know, he definitely needs to get a pass for that, because that's important, not only just to the team, but to that young man in general, So that's something that, you know, I appreciate you asking me that question. Very important to the NFL. Very important to Josh Freeman, I'm sure. But that's where the drug policy has to have some leniency. So thanks for giving me a call, Erica. So there we go. Like LATG Radio. Make sure you tune in next Tuesday. We're going to be discussing League of Denial. That's going to be coming out next Tuesday. Now, I think it's going to be a great conversation. I think we're going to learn a lot. Next Tuesday night. Remember to always have the perfect state of mind for success. I'm your host, Lamar Campbell, LATG Radio. See you next Tuesday.
Thanks again for joining Lamar Campbell for Life After the Game. Be sure to listen to our program every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Channel. May the coming week be one of greatness in your life. Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.